Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, everyone, for having me. My name is Chris Hayes. I'm here with my beautiful family. We're here visiting from the South.
It always feels weird coming up to the North. I feel like a tourist and I'm in a new country. So, passion. A great and strong desire or motivation, and the dictionary tells us a desire to do or pursue an activity regardless of incentive, as the doing is reward enough. Everyone here has been around passionate people. Football fans, World Cup fans, foodies, people finishing work on a Friday night, and of course, nerds, myself. There is just an energy about passionate people. It's catchy, it's contagious, it's passion. Come on, everyone, let's say it together. Passion!
Passion.
Excellent. Come on, focus on the vowel. Passion!
Passion!
Excellent. Feels good, doesn't it? So who here wants to talk about passion? Excellent. Oh, that guy doesn't over there. That's cool. Okay, because that's what I'm going to talk about today. So obviously now everyone knows that I love Star Wars. My wife doesn't, it's because it hurts the wallet. I'm the type of Star Wars fan that my collection isn't big, but I spend a lot of money on it. I love Star Wars and all things nerdy. Avengers, Justice League, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and the list just goes on. But Star Wars is that special passion for me. And I've had this passion since I was 6 years old. From the first moment I sat down with my father and I saw the screen crawl title and the epic music, thanks to John Williams. So 20 seconds, and that's all it took for me to subscribe to Star Wars. So why am I so passionate about Star Wars? It's your good versus evil, black and white. You've got space monks who are knights, you've got World War II dogfighting, you've got science fiction, and you've got magical fantasy. It's about friendship, it's about family, and for me, Star Wars was a way to bond with my father. I related with Luke Skywalker, the boy who grew up in the middle of nowhere to become a hero. Does anyone know where Bullfinch is? Marvel Lock? Yeah, no? Yeah, didn't think so. No one knows where Tatooine is either in Star Wars. The weirdest thing about being a Star Wars fan and being a Catholic fan is, may the Force be with you and with your spirit. You see, passionate people can walk into an empty place and still fill it. Passionate people can take a nothing job and turn it into something. Passionate people can turn a blank piece of paper and create art. Another nerdy moment from the Justice League, Superman's arch nemesis, Lex Luthor. He said, some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's a simple adventure story. Others can read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe. When I was writing this talk, I was thinking about how I was going to present it to you today. My first line of thought was, using your passion in God's ministry. That seems pretty linear, makes sense. And that's wonderful. Passion is good. Passion is a wonderful tool, but passion can be misplaced. Passion can be misused. David, a man for God's own heart, burning with passion. Whatever he did it with passion. When he wrote music, he wrote it with passion. When he wrote poetry, he did it with passion. When he sang and when he danced, he did it with passion. But his passion became misplaced. His passion led to a national scandal. Passion is great, but it has a place. And from my study, when I was coming up with this talk, in that time, I had to sit down and prepare, and I came across the biblical version of passion. Perseverance. Suffering. So today, I'll be talking about these two aspects of passion. The drive and the perseverance and what we do with it. I'm an ex-Pentecostal, and the greatest lesson my old pastor said to me was, the greatest, what we preach best is what we need to learn the most. This is my third time talking about this, and it still gets me every time because I still am learning from the Word. So let's get into this. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Father, anoint your Word and open our hearts. May we hear it and do it and never be the same again. We declare it and we thank you in advance for feeding us from your word. So today's... Oh, sorry. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Apologies. So open up your Bibles or your apps to Revelations chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. Reading from the NIV version, it says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Ephesus was a city on the western coast of Asia Minor, near the mouth of the Caistor River. This city was famous for its temple of Diana, or Artemis in old mythology. And pilgrims came to Ephesus from all over the Mediterranean world to worship this goddess. Ephesus was a city at the time with a population just under 250,000 people, and by some historians, the fourth most populous city in the world. The church of Ephesus was planted by the Apostle Paul around the year 52 AD, and it was around the year 96 AD that Paul writes to the church, and at this point, the church was withering where it was prospering 40 years ago, but now it has stagnated. The first thing to note in this letter to the Ephesian church is that the message is from Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus affirms the Ephesians' positive actions. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false, and you have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. The Ephesian church was a hard-working group of believers full of fortitude, and to their credit, they were gatekeepers of the truth and did not compromise with evildoers. They showed patience, endurance in bearing up under hardship. However, Jesus also notes their shortcomings. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. They were hardworking, but they no longer had the same passion for Christ as when they first believed. Their work was no longer motivated by love. Jesus called the Ephesians to repent. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. In this case, the corrective way was to remember the heights of their former love. Repent, to change their mind and their current status, and return to the previous way of doing things. It was time for the revival in the church. Passion drives us to achieve, to perform, to excel. David was a passionate man. He was so passionate for God. You see, passion makes apathetic people nervous. Passion matters. It's important no matter what position you may be. David was a shepherd boy killing lions, tigers, and bears. He didn't know that he was preparing for the battle that would decide his fate and the fate of his people. He was preparing for Goliath, and it was that passion that got him to the palace. It was passion that led him to lead Saul's army. Was he the most qualified? Probably not. Did he have a fancy scroll from the Israelite University of Technology? No. But he had passion. He had a passion for victory. He had a passion to see God's people take its rightful place in the nation of Israel, to make a difference to the world as we know it. It requires a positive and passionate mindset. Work is not work. You don't count the hours when you do what you do. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame or public recognition. It is often a thankless task and is something you choose to do, and to do so with love, honor, and a sense of responsibility, because you believe that what you do makes a difference. To make a stand on your comfort zones, and it can mean danger or material loss. Paul commends the church of Ephesus for their labor, but they have lost their first love. They were making progress, but in the process of making progress, keeping evil doctrine at bay, in the process of eliminating things from their lives. So you and I, we have the apparatus, but we have lost our passion. And passion can go astray and mean nothing if it's not in place. Many years ago, I too was a member of the Church of Ephesus. Many years ago, I served in the Baptist Church and in the Pentecostal Church of Nations, and I was leading children's ministry. Did I have passion? That was the highlight of my week, that activity, particularly the Baptist Church in Kalgoorlie. I was there. That was the pinnacle of my existence. Teaching the children, taking them out, talking to them, bonding with them. I had all the energy in the world for them, for the boys that were in my care. And in the Baptist, at this time in the Baptist church, there was a 10-year-old boy. His name was James. One night, I was doing a shift at the local nursing home as a nurse, and his mother called me. She told me that his father, James's father, had walked out a year ago and had broken James' heart to see his father leave without so much as a goodbye. He came to church with his mother only at his mother's request. But after being in children's ministry, she told me that because not just myself, but others, that we took the time to talk to James and to bond with him, and that we were authentically passionate about James, that after a while, it was he that was pushing his mother to come to church. To this day, all of my years of being in church ministry, in all of its forms, this still is the greatest moment and the most for me to be passionate servant of God. And this was a long time ago. But as time went on, I left Kalgoorlie. I joined the children's ministry up here in the Pentecostal church. I was there and I put the hard yards in. I made the effort, I made the time, but I lost my passion. I wasn't motivated by love no more. I was only motivated because it was my job to be there. And the children, they knew it. You see, the proof of godly passion is perseverance. The original meaning of passion means to suffer or endure, or perseverance. You see, in this context, passion is not a personality type. Passion is not how high you jump. Passion is not how straight you walk when your feet hits the ground. Noah had perseverance. He had a job to do. His mind was focused and his goal was orientated. Nothing was going to stop him. It didn't matter what the people called him. He persevered. Job suffered greatly, Except for his own life and the life of his wife, Job lost everything. His cattle, his sheep, camels, servants, his home, his children. While this was going on, he was interrogated and cross-examined by three friends. Moses, once the prince of Egypt, the world at his feet, second only to his brother Ramses, had everything. Yet he persevered the truth of his upbringing, persevered the duty God called him to, persevered being seen as a traitor to his brother, bringing famine and plague to his brother and to his home, spending 40 years in the desert wilderness. Moses persevered. Paul persevered. He traveled to many cities, spoke and brought multitudes of people to the church and to Christ. He saw problem after problem after problem. He fought with his friend Peter. He endured prison, scorn. Peter and Paul persevered. These men were passionate about what their mission was. Did they enjoy it? Probably not. Who here wants to go up 40 years in the desert? Who here wants to serve the Lord by being in prison, by being scorned, by having thrown stone at you? Doesn't sound that good, does it? I know I don't. So let me use a little bit of science to back up this biblical view of passion. You see, studies in school have shown that the most intellectual don't get the best results. The predictor for success came from passion and perseverance. Dr. Carol Dweck from the Stanford University developed an idea called the growth mindset. An inability to learn is not fixed, and it can be changed with effort. When kids read and learn about the brain and how it changes and grows in response to challenge, they are much more likely to persevere when they fail. Isn't it amazing how science catches up to the Word of God after all these years? The proof of godly passion is perseverance. Interest isn't passion. Being excited isn't passion. Knowledge is not passion. Passion is different. Passion is from the heart. Passion is power. When you kneel down in the Garden of Gethsemane like Jesus and say, I'm under a lot of pressure right now. I don't want to do this by now. But nevertheless, my will be done and your will be done. You haven't found your passion until you passed your feelings. If you have real passion, you'll do it when you're up. You'll do it when you're down. You'll do it when they don't thank you. You'll do it when they thank you. You'll do it when they scorn you. And you'll do it when they don't. Passion is a wonderful drive, that desire to do. But passion can be misplaced. David's passion turned to Bathsheba. Judas's passion turned to 30 pieces of silver. Jonah's passion turned to self-preservation. Job's wife's passion turned to anger and resentment. Eve's passion turned to knowledge. Perseverance will keep you going, but if you don't have passion, it doesn't matter how long or what task you do. You see, my brothers and sisters, passion has a place. Passion is like the fire on a candle burning bright and bringing light to all of its surroundings. The wax is the perseverance and the source of which the candle to continue to burn. The place of a candle and its flame is on a candle stand. And that stand is purpose. That purpose can go up to allow people to see it, or it can go down to shine and light the path. Godly passion needs purpose. So don't forget your passion. Put your passion on your purpose. Have you lost your passion today, brothers and sisters? Has the flame become an ember? Even the best lose their passion. Bjorn Borg was one of the best tennis players in the world of his time. He played for 7 years and he won 11 Grand Slam titles. He quit at the age of 26 at the peak of his career. He quit because he admitted that he had lost the passion and the drive for the sport. Even King David, the kid who ran to battle, and boldly said, I don't need a position. I don't need endorsement. Decades later in the palace, he had lost his passion. And he cried out to God, create a clean heart in me, O God. A number of years pass, and he's no longer running to battle. He is avoiding it. He created a national scandal with another man's wife. He learned that his child, the child to his wife, was dying. Compromised integrity. David, who had lost his child, his passion. So you're tired of going through the motions. You may remember a time when you were younger, idealistic, passionate, energetic, your shadow would heal the sick. Now you have a full-time job, kids, a business, not feeling the same enthusiasm as you once did. I'm here to tell you something different. You didn't lose your passion, you abandoned it. Remember where you have fallen, Jesus says. Remember where you have fallen. Repent, repent, and feel the feelings you had at first. When God challenged the church of Ephesus' passion, he calls them to action. Do the things you did at first. It's not a decision. Sorry, it's a decision. It's not a sensation. Do it, pray, and practice. I don't feel grateful anymore. Be grateful. I don't feel excited anymore. Get excited. I don't feel love anymore. Be loving. God doesn't speak to me anymore. Pick up the Bible and pray. I want my passion back, and my passion is waiting at the place of my purpose. So I want to pray for you all now. I want you to know that when David lay down and prayed, he asked God to give him back his baby. The Bible said he made a decision to get up, to repent, to get up. He got his passion back. Could this be the day that you get your passion back? Not just the feels, but an inner determination and resolve that says, I will. I will. I will. I don't feel it. I don't want it, but I will. I will because my passion serves my purpose. So I just want to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and grant in me a willing spirit. Thank you, everyone, for listening.